يبقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. With regard to the ears and the guna of the ears, one other aspect which was left out was eavesdropping, to listen to other people's conversations. And this also is quite a bit common also. When somebody else is talking, if two people are talking secretly, they are discussing something, it is not permissible to go and butt in also. It's not permissible to listen to what they say, what they want to, what they are discussing. And in a gathering, two people should not talk on their own either. They should, because then the others might think that they're talking about them. And similar with that also is that we shouldn't speak in a language which other people don't understand. That is just like the same that we are talking secretly, because they don't know what we are saying. They might think that we are backbiting about them, so we shouldn't do that in company. And when two people are sitting on their own somewhere, they are discussing something, it's not permissible for us to butt in, take the permission from a little distance, that may I join you, may I come. Otherwise, just to go in and butt in, and to listen to other people's conversations, this is not permissible. Some people got a habit, they like to listen what other people are talking. Similar with this is also, if we get perhaps on our telephone a crossed line, then we should just put it down. We shouldn't carry on listening. Even if we don't know who they are, and it's nothing, anything, they are discussing just some general things, but then too it's not permissible for us to eavesdrop. However, certain places, and this is also a thing today which is happening very commonly, wives want to know what the husbands are doing. They go into their cell phones, where their contacts are, etc. Or the husband checks on the wife. They're just for nothing, this should not be done. If a person has got due suspicion, and then it's his right as a husband, as the wife, then that is in order. But just without suspicion, to go and even spy, eavesdrop on one's partner, that is also a very bad thing. It shows complete lack of trust, and trust is so important in marriage. But when you have due cause to understand that there is something not right here, something is going wrong, then it will be permissible for that person, not just for any person, for the husband or the wife or the parents, for their children, to check on their children what they're discussing, etc. So that also with regard to the ear, we should be careful. Yeah, especially where we are in etiquette, there is only a sheet between us and the next person. So if they are discussing something, what we just hear, and that is different, we can't close our ears. But we shouldn't make it a point to go and hear what they are talking, etc. Or if we haven't got, we don't like somebody, we got a problem with somebody, then especially we go to his place and we hear what he's talking. That is not permissible. That also we should try and avoid. After that, roza, we discussed how to keep a complete and perfect roza in order that the roza yields profits and we enjoy our roza. Like if a person, the example we have given many times, buys for 5 rand and sells for 5 rand, he'll be the busiest man, but he'll be the first man out of business also. Because he's not making any profit, he can't even pay his overheads or anything. And then he'll be out of business. So the same way with roza, if we are not making a profit in our roza, we won't enjoy rozas. It's a faraz, we have to keep, we are in society, what will the people say? So we keep roza. But if we make a profit, we'll enjoy. And the sign of that is that we'll start keeping rozas out of Ramzan also. When we enjoy rozas and we get the enjoyment of rozas, then it can be hot summer days, it won't matter anything. We'll keep even rozas because we are making a profit. So, and what is how to make a profit? That is, we keep a complete and perfect roza and not just buy and sell at the basic price, at the cost price. And what is the extra, the profits? That we keep roza of the eyes also, roza of the tongue also. Then we discuss roza of the ears also. Now when we keep a roza like that and the other three things that we will be discussing, then we'll get the benefit. We'll see that roza, like a person who is ill and is taking treatment. When he's getting benefit from the treatment, then he can, no matter how expensive the medicine is, Our expense of the treatment is I'm getting benefit and my health is improving. So if our spiritual health improves, and a person can feel when his health is better, and his spiritual health even more so over, he can feel when his health is better. And the final stage will be that when we get ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala, which Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Sahib Majzoob Rahmatullah Alayh asked Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, that Hazrat, when a person gets connection with Allah, when he's now connected with Allah, when he's what we call nisbat, and we call ta'alluq ma'allah, nisbat ma'allah, does he know about it, or does somebody have to tell him? Like his sheikh has to tell him, you got nisbat now, or his peer bhai is telling him, you got nisbat, or will he know it himself? Hadrat was Hadrat, what ulum Allah impressed him with. He said, Khaja sahab, when you became baligh, physically matured, when you became matured physically, if your mother, your brothers, your friends have to tell you, or you knew it yourself, I'm matured now. When a person is matured, he knows I'm matured. And his whole life changes then. When a boy reaches adolescence, when he's now, his everything, his thinking changes. He's worried of his dressing now. Everything of his changes. So the same way, when we get the ta'alluq with Allah, we will realize it. And when everything of us will change, and we'll see what a great daulat and treasure we have acquired, then we'll be just too happy. And there are many ways to acquire it. Allah has specifically given us Ramadan for that purpose. And only 30 days, Allah said, Ayyamun ma'dudat. Pass these 30 days properly, and you'll get that great daulat and treasure. So the fourth thing that we have to do is keep rozas of the other limbs of the body also. The other limbs of the body, I included the hands, the legs, etc. The heart, the mind also I included in that. So as far as the hands and legs are concerned, the hands, that what are the things that we must not be doing with our hands? With the hands, we can make a signature also. We can fake somebody's signature also. We sign a document which we know is not true, is not correct. We sign it, that is also using our hands wrongly. Also, before that, today, which is unfortunately a common thing, that physical abuse of the wife. This is also a very sad thing, and this cannot be even comprehended, thought about a Muslim man, an ummati of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just shouted, raised his voice, or his face just turned a little bit on one of the children of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. They were orphans, their father had passed away, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam either raised his voice when admonishing the child, or just his face you can make out when a person is like cross. Immediately Allah revealed the ayat, وَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Don't shout at the yatim. And perhaps it was even necessary what we will say, but Allah did not allow that also. So that was for a yatim. So the Imam Razi rahmatullah alayh, in the tafsir of this ayat, he says, then what? How can you go about hitting the child? And where can you go about eating the wealth of the child? When you are not allowed to raise your voice, you are not allowed just to change your facial features for that little child, then where can you hit the child? So just like that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, with regard to women, when they were traveling once, and the camel driver was going a bit fast, he told him to slow down. And he told him that you have got fine glass goblets, china glass in the caravan, referring to the woman. China glass is that very thin, delicate glass, which has to be very fragile. It has to be looked after so much, it can break so easily. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to the woman as that. And he told them that you take it easy with the woman. So even in this, in our driving also, we should see. Some of us, we like to play like a young, cowboy or whatever, taking sharp turns and far sharp brakes and all that. And the poor woman get very edgy. And they hold the seats. And they're trying to get support from somewhere. That also is not permissible. So our driving habits also we should see. But as far as the woman and physical, even verbal abuse and mental abuse, to torture them mentally also, and physical abuse is right out of the question. So when Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred to the woman as this fine glass goblet made of China glass, how much must they be looked after? So a ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and particularly a person who thinks himself to be Ashika Rasul, how can he then have this akhlaq, this bad akhlaq with regard to the woman folk? And the immediate person in your life, your wife, and you treat her like that, then other people are afterwards, but your own wife. So that also, and Muslims don't have to be taught, and a Muslim must never ever be taken to court for physical abuse. It's right out of the question. And so what is the answer? If the wife does certain things where she has to be reprimanded, the Quran Sharif is quite explicit. And the real thing is that don't wait for the problem to come. Long before the problem comes, don't allow the problem to come. And how do we do that? There are a few things which are so 100% effective. One is tilawat of Quran Sharif, in which house Quran Sharif is recited regularly, Allah's rahmat comes. Her heart will also get soft. She will listen to you. Now, sometimes the wife is disobedient. She doesn't listen. So when Quran Sharif tilawat takes place in the house, Allah's untold rahmat. People who have got problems, almost solution of every problem is with tilawat of. The finances are not going right in the house. Our income, we lost our job, or the business is not going well, or whatever. There is a barakat. The Quran Sharif tilawat brings that barakat in the house. Health, if there are health problems, Quran Sharif, it works wonders. But it must be done regularly, and then properly with niyat also, with sincerity, and proper, we must improve the quality of our tilawat also. Go for a test. Like a car is not allowed to be on the road without a roadworthy test. It has to pass a roadworthy test. Otherwise, they'll take the car off the road. They'll give you a heavy fine. Just like that, Quran Sharif, we must be roadworthy of tilawat. And go to a qari and let him listen to us. We don't have to get 10 out of 10 and be like Sheikh Abdul Basit and Sheikh Huzaifi and Sudais and all that. But at least a pass mark. That the qari sahab at least passes us, your qiraat is passable. At least so much, it's for us so much. That at least we get a pass mark. This is also very important. So tilawat of Quran Sharif correctly in the house. And every member should make tilawat of Quran Sharif. Usually we say that very fortunate is that household where the father makes a law in his house that nobody will be allowed to leave this house until he has first made tilawat of Quran Sharif. Reasonable amount daily. We can start if we are not reading regularly. And tilawat of Quran Sharif is not only in Ramadan or not only on Friday Surah Kahf, but every day Quran Sharif must be recited. And the tilawat of Quran Sharif again is not just reading Yasin Sharif in the morning, Tabarakalladhi at night, Surah Waqia. Those are ma'amulat, they are wazaif. Tilawat means to start from Alhamdu Sharif, read the whole Quran portion by portion, and then till Quran, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas. Set a target for us. The bare minimum for the average Muslim is we should come to one supara a day. That is we should do. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has made it even more easier. He says the Quran will lay a charge against us as far as tilawat of Quran is concerned in the court of Allah Ta'ala. The complainant will be Quran Sharif. How are we going to defend ourselves? And the judge will be Allah Ta'ala. And the Quran Sharif will say what the Quran Sharif says, Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi ittakhadhu hadha al-Quran mahjura. They made hijrah, they divorced themselves from the Quran, as if they had nothing to do with the Quran Sharif. So at least one khatam in Ramadan we should make, and one khatam out of Ramadan. And in Ramadan we can manage one khatam. There is absolutely no reason that we can't finish another khatam in 11 months. When we could make one khatam in 1 month, what all the strenuous other things of Ramadan, 20 rakats of Taraweeh, getting up for Sehri, being hungry, then why can't we make one khatam in the rest of the year? But what we should try and do, the average Muslim, one supara a day. Every month, one khatam. And the best is to read it according to Islamic dates. So with the Islamic date, your one supara. And where the month has got 29 days, you cover up your one. Just how we make in Taraweeh, 4 nights we read one in quarter, whatever. Read 1 day 2 supharas, read 4 days 1 in quarter, whatever. But in this way we can keep in line, we can keep in touch with Islamic date, which is also very important. Today many of us, we got nothing to show to say, nothing to do with Islamic calendar. And for who is the Islamic calendar? Are Jews going to follow it? Hindus going? If we don't follow it, who's going to follow the Islamic calendar? There is also a very big shiar, signpost of Islam we should follow. So tilawat of Quran Sharif in the house regularly. And the best is let the whole family sit together. Today we got big houses, everyone is gone to his own room, and children put a sign on their door that nobody is allowed to enter without permission. If the parents also, if we have lost our children in our house, then what is going to happen? We don't know what is in our children. One family, our friends, means who come to the Khanka, and they were trusting their children. One day the mother wanted to help the child to see about the clothes. She went, she opened the drawer, she found drugs there. She was so shocked, she couldn't believe that my children and drugs. Then they started monitoring the children. We don't know what. Today they got their own laptops, they got their phones. It's the duty of the parents to go into the phones now and then, to check on their laptops or whatever. One friend of ours, he's got a good principal, he's got a computer in the house with internet, but it's only in the lounge. And in view of everyone, you can go and see where you do your things, not privately in your room. And then nobody knows what sites you are going on, where you're going on. It must be in view of everyone. So Quran Sharif, we should set all together in read. So that is one. Dhikrullah. The dhikr of Allah Ta'ala has got such great effect. But very, very sadly, inshallah, after a few days, if Allah wishes, we'll discuss on dhikr more in detail. How important. By Hadrat Shaykhul Hadith, Rahmatullah Ali, Hadrat, his whole stress and many mashayikh was only on zikr. And by zikr, what is the object? It makes all your other desires, your lust, your greed, your pride, it overpowers them. And it eventually washes them, finishes them out. If you are regular with your zikr and you do your zikr properly. Zikr is a solution to everything. Quran Sharif, what a great kitab. On top of it, zikr in the house. The third thing that we should do in the house, ta'aleem. Regularly have ta'aleem of Fazail Amal. Other kitabs of our buzurgs are so great kitabs on Sirat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It will have, if the children don't, they tired of Fazail Amal now. They tired of, read on Sirat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It has such an effect. Whoever reads Sirat, Allah blesses him with the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with the love of sunnats in his life, and then see what a change on itself it will come. And don't do the ta'aleem like as if you're a big, very big Sufi and a very big Mufti, but let them read. Get them engaged. And don't keep it for so long also. About 3-4 minutes also is enough. Just a little while, but regularly ta'aleem. And then in these things, pick up a point. Whenever there's something that happened which is in the news, everyone knows. One girl, for example, eloped. Now tell your children, see here, what happened here. Because of their dressing, this happened. Or whatever else, because of their dressing, because of their freedom, they just walk around freely on the streets. See, we must be careful. So use these occasions to highlight and bring it on their minds. So don't wait for the problem to come. Be proactive. Don't wait for the problems to come. You have your tilawat regularly. Many people, we get tired of tilawat, making zikr, etc. And we don't do it. And then for a few days, shaitan let things go smooth. Then he brings a big problem in the house. And then you speak to the wife, you speak to your young daughter, your young son, nothing registers. They don't listen. They have become so rebellious. So, and with this, our Hazrat Shaykh and our Mashayikh say, take them in the company of the pious people also. Send them in Jamaat also. Let their zahin be made. Don't let a problem come. Before time, work on them. And this, and to make the zahin of the children and the wife, it's not overnight. It takes time. One little incident by which we can take lesson, hopefully the correct lesson. Hazrat Maulana Asad Madani Rahmatullah Ali narrated this. Two brothers, there were two girls, extremely beautiful. And they made a condition, we'll only get married to those men who permit us to hit them 10 shots on the head every night with our shoes. So, but they were very pretty, but nobody wanted to marry that. There is the condition. Every night you must collect 10 shots, they'll give you with their shoes. But two brothers finally got ready, they said, it's all right. We'll get married to them. They got married, and they stayed together for a week. And what the one brother did, he was quite shrewd, or clever, whatever. He had kept a cat as a pet. But just before the marriage, when the first night, when his wife was supposed to come, he kept the cat hungry for 2-3 days. So the cat was very hungry. So when they came into the bedroom and the cat started coming by the door, meowing, making a noise, a nuisance, it was hungry, it needed food. So he got so cross and he kept the sword ready. He took the sword and he gave that cat one shot. Cat has 9 lives, but all 9 lives, one time, it died, it was dead. So she never had the courage to say that I'm going to take my shoes and hit you. That, yeah, this man, he's such, he takes up the sword, he keeps a sword. In our time, a gun he keeps, and he just shoots young, he doesn't wait for anything. So she didn't even talk about it. And after 1 week of marriage, the two girls went home again to their mother, and there they started talking. This side, the two brothers were together, they were talking. So the two girls discussed amongst themselves, and they asked that, how's things going? You're giving your attention. I didn't even have the guts to even talk about it. He just took out his gun, his sword, and he killed the cat, so I didn't. And you, yeah, I'm giving him properly. Okay, this side, the two brothers, that you collecting your 10 shots, the one said, no, I did this plan. So I have no problem, I've got no problem. She just listens to me, everything. The other brother, I'm collecting 10 shots. So he said, there is a good idea, I'm also going to do this. So now in the next 1 week, the sisters were going to stay at the mother's house. So he kept the cat also. 1-2 nights before days, he kept the cat hungry. So when his wife came and the cat started meowing and he pulled out his sword, she said, it's too late now. You should do that the first night. So just like that, don't be so hard on the wives. Don't be like that. Not at all. But make your tarbiyat from the start. First night, instead of going to cloud nine and all, you forget everything. Briefly, in a nice, lovable, amicable way, put down your things, what I want in this house. In this house there will be parda. Why, by the way, mention all, we don't mention a thing, we go for honeymoon 1 week. We do all the wrong things. Now when we come back, now we want to kill the cat. The cat you had to kill the first night. You can't go and kill the cat now after you finished your 1 week of honeymoon and everything, and you have spoiled the whole platform, you have dirtied it already. Now you want to go and put your honey on that platform and all that, it doesn't work. The first, and this little sabr at the beginning. And the beginning, the first year of marriage, no children. Perhaps by the second year, a child comes. Second, third year, the children are there. But by then, you are alone. And you just do all the wrong things. Live in the wrong way. And you have put the foundation for a wrong life. Now, in old age, you have to suffer the consequences. Later in your life, if you put things right at the beginning, and you put your guidelines properly, this is how we're going to live, this is how we're going to do, and with love and with kindness and with maturity, not just wildly just using the whip and that, no, in a nice way. So this zehn has to be made in the house. Then inshallah we won't have a problem. If still we have a problem after having done this, or we didn't do it at the beginning, do it now. Set these guidelines. Start with ta'aleem. Allah's rahmat will come. Allah's barakat will come. Zikrullah in the house. And ta'aleem in the house. And go, go to buzurs, go in jamaat, and then inshallah you won't have a problem. But still if a problem comes, then with sabr. Just take to work with sabr then. And inshallah, the fruit, sabr is also very bitter, very hard to make sabr. But the fruit of sabr is extremely sweet. And you will get this, the fruit of it very soon. Just make sabr when these problems. The wife doesn't want to listen to you. She's making wrong demands and she wants her way. Just make sabr. And like Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that whenever he had a problem, he should just go straight to the masjid. Make contact with Allah ta'ala there. And speak to Allah ta'ala. And then go home after that and inshallah you'll find a complete change of heart. When you make the controller of hearts, Muqallib al-Qulub, you went to his house and you made contact with him. And when you come home, Allahu Akbar. Allah controls hearts in such a way that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu's mother was an arch enemy of Islam and hated Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she couldn't hear his name or anything. Hazrat Abu Huraira, Allahu Akbar, what a sahabi, what iman. And he was so worried and love for his mother. It's your mother after all, the one who gave birth to you, was very worried about her. So he went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He tried all his tadbir, all his ways he tried, but he couldn't convince his mother. He told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make dua that Allah must grant my mother iman. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the dua, and just see what yaqeen he had. He ran from there to his house to see whether he reaches first or Allah's Rasul's dua reaches first. When he reaches home, his mother says, Ala rislik, you stop, don't come in. Those were not days like our houses. There was just a little curtain in the shower where you're showering. Stay, I'm busy showering. Don't come here now. That I'm not dressed properly, I'm showering. Don't come in the house now. So he got convinced. My Nabi's dua reached before me. I came running fast to the house. But my Nabi's dua reached before me to the house. And when she came out after her bath, she read Kalima. So this is, make contact there. And that contact is so powerful. So don't try and use our own force and our own power and our own ways. Use the right ways. So anyway, so this abuse of the hands, and it's a sad thing, how many complaints we get. We come here, we sit in the khanqa, like big buzurgs, we keep big beards, everything. But the complaints that come, of how many people, how we treat the wife, physical abuse, verbal abuse, mental torture, this is not permissible at all, in any way whatsoever. And any person who is guilty of this should make tawbah, and he should contact them and ask them for maaf. This will soften their hearts also. And do these things, tilawat of Quran in the house, ta'aleem, etc. So whoever, with our workers, some of us say, the workers, till you don't swear them, they only understand that language, which is not true. We think like that, and we just, with our children, with our subordinates, wherever it is, some ustads in the madrasa, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum at one time became so angry, and Hazrat Mahat Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali also, that some ustads think, today, unfortunately, with government laws, many ustads are controlled. Heating, etc. is gone out. But some ustads think they are butchers, and they butcher those little children. This is not permissible at all. To hit the children like that and to butcher them and to hit the lights out of them. What and what? One child, he came home, the teacher had given him a good hiding. So he was holding his back all the time. Mother asked, what happened? He said, the teacher gave me today a very heavy beating. So after a little while, he went to his room and he screamed. Mother ran, what happened? So he says that he took a mirror to see how the hiding was at the bottom. So he says, he cracked my whole back in two. He found a whole split at the back. That the teacher hit him so bad, and a whole split at the back. And he broke his back into two pieces. So anyway, hitting like this is not permissible. And to butcher the children, and so many instances where the families went away from deen. They sent the child to become hafiz, And the hiding that he got, after that the whole family rather had nothing to do. They say, if that is what deen is, we got nothing to do with deen. Our Shaykh's most bayans, when it is on the time of boys completing Quran Sharif, he starts with the ayat Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Quran. That in the teaching of Quran, there is a sign, you must have the quality of Rahmaniyat, of mercy, of compassion and kindness. And not this of hitting like that. If you make a boy a hafiz, a best hafiz in the world, but you at the same time, the way you hit him, you brought hatred in his heart. For Quran Sharif, for the Ustad, you have failed. You haven't succeeded, though he has become the best hafiz. And if a boy did not become hafiz after you tried, but he had the love of the Ustad, love of Quran Sharif, love of deen, you are successful, though he hasn't become a hafiz. To become a hafiz is not faraz. To have deen in one's life is faraz. And you are hafiz on top of that, nurun ala nur, very good. But with the hand, the abuse that is carrying on, and many till today, government laws are so stringent. There is so much of talk about abuse against women, etc. Islam, from the time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best amongst you is he who is the best to his human folk. The best, not he who makes so much tahajjud, and he who gives so much charity, and he who does this, but he who treats his woman folk, the wives, the best. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further to encourage us, and I treat my wives the best. So the use of the hand, we have to be very, very particular about that. So whether it is the wife, whether it is our children, or also one time, Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali also advocated very much compassion, softness towards women, etc. So one per and subordinates. So in Makkah Sharif, somebody told Hazrat Ji, what you advocate, that we must be soft, we must be kind, then these children will sit on our head, the wife will sit on our head, workers will sit on our head, they won't listen to us. Hazrat Ji said, when did I say you must not maintain order and law, but do it in the right way? And for that he stipulated four conditions, that when your subordinates do something wrong, your wife, your children, the first thing is don't lose your temper. And the first thing is we lose our temper. And when your temper is lost, you are worse than a drunk person. A drunk person, that after the drunkenness is gone, it's finished. But wealth, the drunkenness of wealth stays almost always. Pride, and then also anger, it stays as long as that anger. Afterwards you are sorry what you did, and you cry crocodile tears, but you can't put the clock back again. And you can't put history to repeat it, to come back, and you'll redo it again. In anger, a person does those things that he can't imagine. So some of our good friends, outward on the face, they like Bayezid Bustami. So pious it is. But when we hear the complaints of the swears they use, if there was, I don't think there is, but if there is a dictionary of swear words, I think the swear words they use, they're not even in that dictionary. How vulgar they become at that time. And when we speak to them, they say, me? I don't use all that. I don't speak like that. How softly like they speak in front of the Sheikh. I don't do all those things. I don't speak. Then I don't know if the wife and all the children are lying or what. We don't know. Or is he? You can't reconcile this. A person, he doesn't realize what he becomes when he... A bad person is worse than a bull in a China shop. Not this China people shop, but where China fine, delicate goblets are sold, a person who gets angry is worse than that. And this is all from pride also. First thing Hazrat Ji said, don't lose your temper. The second thing is that the natural consequence of temper, your language what you use, you start using your hands, etc. Don't do that. Don't lose your temper. Keep your language under control, and then your hands and legs. Also, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, all starts with the tongue. When a person gets angry, first he uses his tongue. He tells that person bad words. Then he'll go on to swearing. Then his own brother, he'll swear his brother's mother and father. He doesn't realize he's swearing his own mother and father. And he, what and what he'll tell him, that your father is like this, your mother is like this. He's swearing his own mother. His mind is, it's gone. He doesn't know what he's talking. So, and then our sheikh say, you'll never see a person when he's cross on somebody, he just starts hitting him. They're like a silent movie picture. There's no speaking, only punching and kicking. It never happens like that. The first is your tongue, and then after that you start using your hands and your legs. If your tongue is under control, your hands and legs will also be under control. But when your tongue is not under control, and today with firearms and weapons, continuously, every day's news practically it comes, that the police people, when they're anger, they just use their firearm. And what a long story after that again. How much of disgrace for the whole police force, for that whole department. But, and they said, and they go under special training for anger management, etc. But these are daily occurrences. And the same police who are given firearms by the government, they use it on their family, they use it on themselves, because we didn't learn. So the first thing is, don't lose your temper. The second thing, what comes from temper, your tongue and your hands and legs, that must be under control. The third thing is, now that wrong that person has done, in your eyes it's a wrong. See, in every, all the time this happens. Right? That according to one person it's wrong, another person it's right. So according to you it's wrong, but according to that person it may be right. That I did the right thing. Like for example, which is also a common thing, many people, husband for example, he likes his tea beginning of the meal. Some like it end of the meal. Now you would give the person the tea beginning of the meal, that's his habit. Now one day he is in some mood or something, and he wanted it at the end of the meal, when the, otherwise my tea will get cold. I don't want cold tea. I want a nice hot cup of tea. That day his mood was like that. He was down. He wanted a nice hot cup of tea. So the wife put it as normal. So he gets cross. Why you put it now? This tea is going to get cold. Haven't you got so much brains also that you're putting it from now? And I want to drink it afterwards. And it's, now she did it in her normal way. Or she did it on that day, she understood that he always wants it beginning, but today he's feeling quite down, let me give him a nice hot cup of tea at the end of the meal. So many times the woman folk do things what they feel is for the benefit, in true, in earnestness, sincerity. But we look at it different, there we go off on a tangent, and we become so angry. So first, sit down and make the person understand the mistake. Whoever it is, your subordinate, your worker, your wife, your children, or anyone else, if you think somebody has done something wrong, and in understanding the mistake, always, you can never solve a problem when you remain firm on your point of view. And that person, understand that person's point of view. Don't look at it according to your understanding. Try and understand that person's view, what that person said. One teacher asked a student, that why you came late today to school. So now according to him, it's just a joke. So he said there was a sign there outside. What sign? School, go slow. There was a sign there, there's a school, so you must go slow. So that's just a joke. But if he took it seriously, that because I saw the sign, you must go slow. So I went slowly, came very slowly. I came late to school. The sign was saying you must go slow. So in any way, that person understand his point of view. And this takes time. And this is what is called tarbiyat. Tarbiyat of children and workers training. It's not shouting and screaming and putting down laws and hanging them up and these are the laws and you must abide by it. No, you have to sit with them. And when you produce somebody like that, you have produced your replacement for life. You can die and go, he's going to do a better job than you. And when on the other hand you just put laws down and you want to force it by the whip and by the what's the iron arm, iron hand, you want to enforce it. With my eyes I've seen that Mufti Saab's house, where Mufti Saab was so strict, but when Mufti Saab should go for Juma Namaz in his house, music used to blare the loudest in the whole neighborhood. And they used to, girls used to invite boys, and under the auspices and under the permission of the mother, they should dance in the house, in Mufti Saab's house. This is when you want to try and force your way. And you then what natural effect is, you make them rebellious. And they want to show you a point. We'll show you we can do this and we can do that. But if you give love, they will want to listen to you. And they'll give their life. Allahu Akbar. Hadrat Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a man who was so strict, etc. But one night he's making gusht. And in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what was gusht? To go and see how was the condition of the people. Everyone is safe and nobody is suffering. So he making gusht in the streets of Medina when it's quiet. And he heard from one house, he see there's a light, there's some voices. He listens there, and for him it was 100% permission. He's Khalifatul Muslimin. He has to know what is happening. So he listens. Mother and daughter were running a dairy, selling milk. So the mother told the daughter, add water to the milk, milk will become more, we'll make more money. So the daughter said, no, Amirul Mu'mineen has put out a law, you are not allowed to do this. This is when the zahn was made from before. Now how that law works. Now if you prepare your ground and you put seeds, they will grow. If you don't prepare your ground, and the ground is hard, and you get your best seeds in the world, the wind will just blow them away. You water it after that, the water will wash it away. First prepare your ground, make the ground soft first. The heart must be first made soft. So the daughter said, no, Amirul Mu'mineen has not. He said, Amirul Mu'mineen is not here. He won't know anything about it. We'll make so much more money. He said, Amirul Mu'mineen is not such a person that you only listen to him on his face. And behind his back you do against him. This is when that love is there. And that how the whole community and the ra'iyya, the citizens will want to listen to their leader when we have got those qualities. So that is how that we prepare the mind of the wife, the children, the workers, that they were from their side, they want to listen to us. And they are keen that we must listen. So make that person understand. And then the fourth thing Hazraji said, show them the solution also. Not just shouting and it's the end. No, what is the solution? You did this wrong, see in future, you mustn't do it like this, you must do it like that. And not you all have to do it one time. 10 times until the cows go home if it's necessary. But you keep on doing that. And then see what results you will get. The day you leave this world, that person will be an ardent replica of yours, and he will, your ideas, he will enforce them. But if you enforce them, then you are hardly gone to the qabr, and their whole life will change. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Now we can do what we want to, and now we're going to do what we always wanted to do. And until a person doesn't understand, so this using of the hand, that is also, whether it's on the wife, children, and tarbiyat. There is a tarbiyat. In Gujarati there is a saying, you have to make your blood into water. In other words, you have to work so hard on your children, not just shouting them, but you have to make your blood water in order to make your children. Then see those children, what qualities they will have. What your wife, that not when they, she tells the children, well, daddy is gone, now we can do what we want to. Whatever he stopped us from, we don't have to listen to him, he's not here. More, the mother and the children, they will want to do what the daddy told. What Abba said, that is what we must do. So today, unfortunately, that is also a thing which is not, it's not at all acceptable. Lifting the hand on the wife, she is the weaker sex, and she, Allah made her such, and we take advantage of her, this is not permissible at all. And the results of this, one person, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum explains, when Hazrat was in another suburb in Karachi before Nazimabad, one person came and complained, as it happens, you go to Maulana, my husband and wife fights, you are having arguments that he's treating me like this, he's doing this. So Hazrat explained to them till 12 o'clock at night. But as we say that, ek no bear nicho. He just did not want to listen. And he said, I'm divorcing her. And all he wanted to, why he wanted to divorce her, he had no reason. Allama Khalid Mahmood Sahib, Damat Barakatum, says that when a person got no reason to divorce his wife, then he comes with the most ludicrous, stupid reasons. One person wanted to divorce, he had no reason. So they asked him, but why you want to divorce her? So what he said, jab wo roti banati hai, to hilti hai. Now if she makes roti, she has to move like this. Now if she's not going to move, then how is she going to make roti? Now that he took out as a point, that because of that. And we don't realize how stupid we make ourselves. When that fire of lust overtakes a person, that madness, anger takes over a person. A person can have how many degrees, he can be what a big maulana and mufti, whatever, but he becomes so stupid at that time. And he brings the worst and the most stupid arguments. So so Hadrat explained, he didn't. 12 o'clock at night, he gave her talaq. A mother with 6 children, where must she go now? When she came out from there, she looked up to the skies to Allah, only you are mine. I can't go to my mother's house, father's house, brother's, sister's house. You will look after me. Allah sorted out, looked after her. He got married to what was his object, a young 17-year-old girl. But this, when we abuse our woman folk and we treat them wrongly, we want to give them talaq, we threaten them with talaq. Islam undoubtedly has put talaq in the hands of the man, but not to threaten and to mentally torture the woman. Because you know how to control talaq. That's why Allah gave it in your hands. Not because that you must all the time, now I'm going to divorce you. Just this happened, you'll see I'm going to divorce you. I'll send you out to your mother's house. Allah didn't put the talaq in the man's hand for that reason. Because the man was more capable, Allah Ta'ala put talaq that he knows how to look after it. A woman, she won't be able to look after it. So Allah didn't put it. But today we are gone worse than woman mentally also. So anyway, he married a girl, 16, 17-year-old girl. It wasn't 6 months and he became paralyzed. And he was just on the bed all the time. And then his condition became that he used to urinate, do number two, vomit on the bed, and she left. She didn't come to do all this khidmat. Your wife, who you grew up with, will do everything for you. What and what won't they do for you? But she didn't come for all that. She came for fun times. So she went away. And another 2 years he suffered like this on his bed. And he died like that. Nobody to clean his stool. Nobody to clean his urine. And like that he died. Remember our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum says, Hadraji Maha Masihullah Sabr Ahtiai said a very wonderful thing, that we usually call the woman the weaker sex. But they are much more stronger than us in this sense here. That which house she was born, and she grew up 17, 18, 20 years with her parents. How her father protected her. How everything he was worried, my daughter, everything. Mother, every desire of the daughter. How the mother made tarbiyat, my daughter will go in somebody's house, my name mustn't get bad. I must bring her up properly. What and what they did for her. And then, when she gets married, when they ask her, so and so has proposed, you prepared to marry so much meher? She says, yes, I'm prepared. In that yes, I'm prepared, that yes, she has pulled herself out of all those roots. From all those such strong thorns in which she was, all that, her whole 20 years, in 1 second, she pulled herself out, and she gave herself over to her husband. And in such a way she gave to herself, to her husband, everything of hers. Now what you say, if you say during the day it's night, it's night. And if you say at night it's day, it's day. Whatever you say, her whole izzat she gave over to her husband. Now how much mustn't the husband appreciate and look after that? And now we ill-treat that woman. Allahu Akbar, what a remedy our Shaykh has given. You are ill-treating your wife. And you're swearing her and you're beating her up and doing everything. The day your daughter grows up and she gets married, now you're making dua. Oh Allah, my husband, my son-in-law must look after my daughter very nicely. My son-in-law mustn't trouble her. And if she's little bit handicapped in any way, even more, oh Allah, let him overlook this. She's a bit slow. Her thinking, she's a bit slow. She's not so good in her work, in her cooking or whatever. Oh Allah, let my husband. And if the husband troubles her, he's running around for ta'weez from pillar to post. He's going to woo and woo that place. So remember that your wife is also somebody's daughter. How you want your son-in-law to look after your daughter well. Your wife is also somebody's daughter. And they also got feelings for their daughter. Though today she's 50 years, 60 years, whatever. But she's also somebody's daughter. And they also got, and if they have passed away, now Allah takes over. Allah says, for the yatim child, Allah says, who is it that's making, I put the father in the ground, and now who's making this child cry? Allah is warning that person. Who is, like you say, who is doing this? For the yatim child, a person who abuses a yatim child in whichever way, and the child has to cry, the tears fall, it in the hadith, fi kaffir rahman, in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Allah hasn't got hands. In other words, those tears have got great value. That child, you abuse him, Allah takes over. That woman, you abuse her, and at night she turns around and she's got no one to turn to, Allah takes over. Allah looks. And if Allah has to sort you out, a government can't sort you out, gangsters can't sort you out, like if Allah decides to sort you out. You got no way, nowhere to turn and no refuge if Allah has to sort you out. So Allah takes charge of them. So this abuse of the woman folk, or what the hands, etc., usage of the hand, we have to be very, very careful. Yeah, we think, well, I'm the big shot in the house. I can swear and I can use vulgar language and I can threaten and tell the wife anytime you get out of the house. That is why in talaq, Allah has kept the effect. If you give 3 talaqs, you went to that extent and now you want your wife back, you have to suffer the consequences. She must marry somebody else. She must go and sleep with somebody else with your full knowledge and your permission. And then she comes back to you. You'll never accept your wife like that. But now, because you didn't control your tongue and you gave her 3 talaqs and you want her back again, this is the procedure. So in other words, talaq seems very easy and cheap. It seems a person who doesn't understand deen, then in Islam, to divorce a wife is so simple. Just 3 times you say talaq and she's divorced. No, if you're a person who knows, will know the consequences are very severe. So abuse of the hand, parts of the body in Ramzan, let us learn how to use them correctly, and inshallah we will only caress and we will only fondle with the wife and keep her happy, and when her duas come out, see how Allah will, on the other hand, what Allah will give you. And this abuse that we are doing, that must stop. For a mu'min, for a sunnah, for a human being who takes advantage of the weaker person, and somebody who is in your qaid, who Allah has put, so to say, in your prison, and you ill-treat that person like this, this is not permissible at all, in any way whatsoever. So we should treat our wives very well, and our subject is about usage of the hand, etc. We must not use it wrongly in any way whatsoever, whether it's our wives, our children, our workers, and there's a way to get the things right. Don't put a right, use the right way. Don't use a wrong way to get a right. It doesn't work like that. You have to use a right to get a right done. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.